The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Today we have a special guest. He is a dear friend of mine. He is an actor-engineer hybrid, one of my favorite guys in the world.
Mm.
Completely hilarious. Is a very mindful person, not like my other friends. And yeah, so welcome, Aus Salahuddin.
Thank you guys, bro. I've been watching you guys for years, so I'm excited to be here.
Yeah.
When I got the invite, I was like, I'm scared. but I'm
first
excited,
podcast.
Bro. Yeah,
dude,
first podcast.
I was so excited when he said yes.
Yeah. Instantly, and, bro. Literally, yeah. When you guys said it, I'm like, yeah, let's do it.
And it's like, it's exactly what we always talk about.
Yeah.
Me and Zaid, we're always like coincidentally, whenever we hit someone up or something, it's like, dude, I was just thinking about et cetera, here, yeah. Being there, putting myself out there.
Mm.
We've heard all kinds of responses. It's insane.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
The world just works in one way. But yeah, dude, there's a lot I want to ask you today, and it's gonna be, I think, probably like a roller coaster, right? It's gonna go deep and then a little lighthearted.
Always is.
Yeah. We've just been excited to talk to you and present you to our audience because our audience likes to laugh. They like general seriousness. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like yesterday we got deep in our birthday episode, which was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Birthday blues.
It's always unexpected sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like then when the emotions come out and then you just start talking. And just,
a tear rolls down your cheek.
My father's sins. Just everything.
It's
crazy, dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, just life has been a weird cycle lately. I know we've both been busy with a lot of things. I know that you are an engineer by day and then a hero at night. Just kidding. Or you might play a hero at night.
Yeah.
So tell me what that's like. Like, how's it like juggling all these things throughout, you know, the week or the day?
So for me, it's like I always want to stay active.
Yeah.
I always want to, because I chose a lifestyle where I have to be.
Mm-hmm.
I chose a lifestyle where I have to constantly be fighting for what I want. So in like the sense for my business, it all relies on me. Mm. My income relies completely on me. So if I'm not active, then, you know, I take the hit.
Yeah.
I take the hit directly. It's not like working for a corporation where, you know, when you slack off, you're still going to get paid a salary.
Mm-hmm.
You're still going to get paid at the end of the day. But the responsibility of having a business is constant,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I prefer that lifestyle. I prefer to be like busy, to have something. Because if I don't, then I just don't feel like I'm doing anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if it's especially in this country where when you don't feel like you're doing something, you just feel like being lazy.
Yeah,
100%. You know what
I mean? Like if you go to the Middle East, like it's more laid back.
That's so true.
Vibes. Like they start work at like 10 a.m.
Yeah.
And they go home at like 3 p.m.
Dude, and the most you'll do is like pick up grandma from her house and bring her over.
Yeah, exactly. But like here... lifestyle is completely different. Like you got to be doing something constantly, which is like, I mean, has its pros, also has its cons, because then you just want to stay busy. But yeah, the balance is, I just try to take it day to day. Like today, what am I gonna do? Obviously, I have to work, and then what's something small I can do for acting? Because I have to stay consistent in that.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of my teachers told me, it's like you don't work out once and then expect to get big. Like acting's a muscle. You got to do it every day. You got to do something small every day. You got to read scripts, analyze scripts, focus on your body, and like constantly work on something.
Because
you don't get better unless you just continuously practice. And I mean, sometimes it can get draining.
Sure.
You know, because like sometimes it could be an emotional toll when you're playing certain characters, going through certain films or whatever, because it all has to come from a personal space. So, you know, trying to balance that business, being professional and like always being there for my clients. But I'm so happy doing it, you know?
Yeah, it's,
like,
it's a big
and
difference.
I think that's the big thing is like my father always, when I was young, wanted to instate in me that don't work for anyone.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you have to have, like, your own thing going. And that's what got me, like, here. So it got me to, like, quit my job and, like, take on that risk and that responsibility. And, yeah, so far, like, it's going decent. So
see where no, I was goes. Happy you actually decided to go that route because I've been doing it my entire life.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I've always been like, dude, I hated school. I hated – and I didn't hate it for many reasons besides the fact that I was, like, I was failing at it. I just didn't care.
No, yeah.
I observed things differently since I was a kid.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And I think it makes sense now that I have, like, a million lenses and cameras, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just like, I'm an observant person. I'm not more of a sit down and study, but I do like particular types of topics, you know? So I got myself into like philosophy, that kind of stuff. And I think philosophy applies to pretty much anything.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
a philosophy of engineering, philosophy of this table, philosophy of the mind, philosophy of behavior. There's many things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just working for someone essentially just kind of messes with your philosophy. Like, who,
yeah,
you don't know what your purpose is really.
It's
you know?
Draining,
you're not in control.
Yeah,
it is draining. Like, your future is dictated by someone else's decision,
which is insane.
Yeah, I mean, like, COVID happened, a bunch of people got let go, you know, they don't know where to go, and like all this stuff.
Yeah,
that's one thing I was also like mindful of. Like, and like, one of the things that really pushed me off was when I worked there for 2 years and asked for a raise. I mean, it's been 2 years, and, you know, I kind of deserve it at this point. And just being denied was a big thing, you know? Like, I'm really, like, getting permission just to, like, get what I feel like
it's
I deserve.
Someone,
you know?
Someone handing you.
And like, it's not, like being entitled or, like, anything like that. Like, no, it's been, like, 2 years. Like, I deserve, like, a little I'm not asking for, like, a 40% increase.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm asking for, like, 5-6%, bro. Like, it's, like,
it's embarrassing.
Thousand. Yeah, it's just weird.
And most, you know? Dude, most companies that are running in that, where they have, like, 100 employees plus, dude, you can afford it.
No, 100%. I mean, they, like,
100%
go,
you can afford it.
They look over, like, 6 engineers. I'm like, you guys can't pay me, like, $3,000 more?
Okay. Like, yeah, straight up.
Each one of them is, like, 100 grand that you save. Like.
No, dude, it's so weird. And I know what you mean. It's like you're... You have it's like you have the freedom of being a slave, right? Because you're doing it for some trade, and the trade is money, right? And then after taxes, it's not even worth it.
100%.
Right? Yeah, so you're dude, what the hell? There must be a way out of this.
Bro, the first time I got a check, I called HR. I was like, what is happening? Is this like actually what I'm getting paid? I can't live, bro.
Isn't that crazy?
You know, I swear to God, I called HR, and they're like, yeah, this is it. I'm like,
what the hell?
Like, just threw it in the trash can. He's like, I'm not even taking this.
Don't even get me started on like requesting like 3 weeks PTO, right? And they were like, oh, well, you only qualify for 60 hours. And you're like, dude, but I worked a year and a half.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, ridiculous. How much more do you want?
It's ridiculous. I would always take sick days. Anytime I want a vacation, I'm like, I'm sick for the next week.
Yeah. For the next week. Also, I'm sick February 4th.
Sometime around there. Wherever plans fall.
So that's something your dad just instilled in you, really through osmosis, like just...
Yeah, because my dad was always like he was a hard ass.
Yeah.
So like he was more always the type where he was a go-getter. Like, I mean, the guy came into this country pretty much with nothing. And he actually graduated as a chemical engineer in Iraq. And he came here and learned structural engineering, which is what I do. Through my aunt's cousin. Like, it's insane to think about. Like, there's, you know, like, people think, like, things are hard and, like, all this stuff. But, like, he went out and learned structural engineering from one guy and made it a practice.
That's like, insane.
And in the meantime, would, like, try to sell cars, like, try to do all these, like, side hustles. So, and my mom, too. My mom was a big inspiration because my mom also also developed her own business for immigration. To help people from Syria and refugees and anywhere from the Middle East, really, to bring them into this country. And she helped develop that business. And so both my parents were a big inspiration. They always took matters in their own hands.
Mm.
And I just felt weird when I was, like, sucking up to someone to try to get, like, a pay raise or, like, anything like that. So that was one of the main things that instilled that journey. And then also acting. You know, you can't be, it's so hard being an actor when you're working 9 to 5. Because, you know, you go to work 9 to 5 and then you have like an hour where you go to the gym, go through traffic, get home. It's already like 7:30, 8 p.m. like, what can I do? I'm already exhausted from my day and like all this stuff. And it's just like, I couldn't live my dream, you know? And I needed a way where I can support myself, support my mom, my dad, anywhere I can, but also follow my passion. And I think that's one thing that I really wanted to achieve, because I didn't want to be one of those guys that just leaves everything, leaves my family, leaves everything behind and just go pursue whatever makes me happy. I have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to my parents that brought me to this country, gave me everything that I have, you know. And it would be selfish for me to think that I could just not help them and just try to make myself happy. So that was one of the decisions that came, like, okay, I need to do something where I can manage my own time, but then also on the back end, I'm going to follow what I love, which was acting.
Yeah. I like that. We all kind of share the similarities in mindset because we recognize money is money and a source of income is a source of income and work is work and your passion is something else.
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
And what is work? I don't know. It's just me.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's 2024. Like, we can eat our cake and we can have our cake and eat it too.
Yeah, there's like, so many different ways to work around now. Like, with all this innovation, all like internet and like all this stuff, like, you can't, there's not really an excuse like to not be making like your own money or anything. Like, there's always a way. Anytime you want to do something, like, I'm when I talk, I don't really consider my thing anything special. Like, what I did was just, I just took the risk.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, and I accepted it.
Yeah.
You know, I came in with a mindset that I'd rather be broke than work for someone else and just live this day-to-day life.
Well, considering you are an actor, what has influenced you the most to become one? I think
that's a good question.
I think it's a good question because these are questions like I ask myself, you know, like what influences me to do certain things or why do I see things in a certain way, right? And I decided to ask you today.
Weirdly, like, the more I go through this journey of being an actor, the more, like, the reasons start to change because I find more reasons to keep doing it as I'm working through it. So at first, it was, weirdly, like, I never grew up watching, like, serious films. You know, it would always be, like, Tropic Thunder or, like, Mission Impossible and, like, all that stuff, or Family Guy and, like, all this stuff. But Family Guy was the first thing that actually opened my mind to it, weirdly enough.
Interesting.
Yeah, weirdly enough. Because there, and I remember it very clearly, there was this one episode where they did their take on three Stephen King novels. One of them was The Shawshank Redemption. At that time, I had no idea what the hell that movie was. I just thought it was hilarious how Family Guy did it. It turned out to be one of the greatest movies of all time that was made. But when they made that episode, they used the real film score from the film. And I remember hearing it, and I don't know why, but, like, it made me feel something.
Yeah.
I have no idea what it was. Till this day, I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
But it made me really, really curious. So then every night for, like, a month, I would just play that song, the theme song to The Shawshank Redemption. And the more I listened to it, the more, like, I just started, like, thinking about, like, random things. And I didn't really know what to do with these thoughts or whatever. After about a month, I was like, you know, maybe I should give this movie a try. Like, listening to an entire soundtrack. It might be a good film if the score is this good.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So I watched The Shawshank Redemption, and I was like, you know, the emotions, like,
it's when a you whole watch the world.
Yeah, yeah, bro. You, like, you experience so much watching that film. Experience all these emotions. And that's the first time I really, like, had a genuine experience while watching a film. And it got me really curious. That was when I was, like, 16, 17. Mm-hmm. So it got me really curious for a number of years of, like, just going through these films. Like, what else is out there? What else can I watch? How would it affect me? Like, all this stuff. And honestly, like, during, like, hard times in my life, anytime I was going through anything, like, I would just turn a movie on. You know, it was my escape. It was, I can go to, like, a fantasy land for 2 hours and just forget about everything. And then one day, I remember I was just going through something, and then this movie came to my head, and I didn't know what it was. all I remember was I remember seeing my dad watch it, and it was made in like 2008, and it was something about oil. And I was like, I got to find this film. Like, it just seemed, I don't know why, but it just seemed really interesting, and I have to find it. So I go through it, and I, turns out There Will Be Blood.
Yeah. Iraq, oil,
something
movie,
like that. Yeah,
my dad.
I'm watching the Iraq war. I'm like, no, this isn't it. No, but then I watched There Will Be Blood.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have seen it. You've seen it.
Yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis. And that just took me over the top. Like, watching that, the focus I had watching that, it was just surreal. And then I remember I was like, he had to have won an Oscar for this. There's no way. So then I watched his Oscar speech. And his Oscar speech, like, I mean, if you watch the film and you watch his Oscar speech, two completely different people. Mm. You know, in the film is this rugged Western, like a guy that you wouldn't want to F with in any case. Mm-hmm. But then when he's accepting his offer, he's like this posh British man. And then I'm like, what?
He's a magician.
No, literally, I was like, what is this guy doing? Like, how the hell did he do that? Like, then that just like flourished into like this whole thing of like, I have to try that.
Yeah.
I don't know what, like, that just seems like so interesting. Like, how someone could just completely change themselves.
Dig into yourself and bring that out.
Yeah. So then I wanted to see, like, how the hell can I do that?
That's so interesting how it just went from.
Right? Like, these domino effects. And I think it's so important to, like, backtrack really what inspires you. Because at the I'm not inspired every day. Mm-hmm. I have days where I have a huge struggle of like trying to push myself to be an actor. I mean, it's so hard to be inspired every day. I'm sure you guys, with the 2 a.m. podcast, you're like, 280 episodes. It's hard to be inspired constantly. It's hard to keep going, like, especially like when you don't see like the progress that you want, but it's exponential. Mm-hmm. And backtracking where I came from, backtracking all like these domino effects, helps build that inspiration because I see how much progress was actually made. It's, you get tunnel vision when the only thing you're focused on is like the end goal. But then when I started backtracking and started understanding like why I started this, how it's making me feel, it became like easier to like go back and really understand like, this is what I'm here for. Mm. I'm just here to have an experience. I don't care if I'm big. I don't care if I make money from it. You know, I have my business for that. If I'm just happy doing it, if I'm just having experience on camera, on stage or whatever, like that's all I would ever really want. Yeah.
That's inspiring.
So that's what came.
I like that actually.
Yeah.
I haven't really thought about that. The whole domino effect.
I mean, it starts from something so innocent too.
Yeah. It's something like so small that can, I mean, that's what I was taught to also do. So the reason why like I know all this stuff is because that's what I'm taught to do as an actor. Like, every word being used in a script, every decision being made, I have to find a reason for it. And in order to find a reason for it in the character, you have to understand how you operate, how you got to the places that you got to, why you have certain relationships in your life with certain people, how these things make you feel. And you have to do it for yourself in order to play any character. And then that's what instilled like all this backtrack in my life, because I wanted to make everything that I worked on just honest, personal, because that's what it takes for me to have an experience. Mm-hmm. I have to personalize my work. I have to attach whatever this character is going through to something in my life so I could have that emotional experience, so it can just come out naturally. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna try to like force a tear.
Yeah,
it's dishonest, you know. But when you honestly, like, understand yourself, and I mean, no one fully understands himself, but it's the attempt. And that attempt just makes you, like, so cognitively aware of how far you've come, of the relationships that you have. Why am I like this in certain situations? Why do I? And then you just become, like, constantly thinking about these things, which is a good thing. Sometimes it can be bad. Sometimes I'm up at night. But, yeah.
That's it plays a lot on the vulnerability strings, for sure, you know. And being comfortable with that, because obviously on a set, you're in front of 100 people. So
yeah.
you know, getting over that is a big deal usually.
Yeah, you just ignore them, honestly.
Yeah. I see that a lot, you know. I try to direct.
I don't look in the crowd.
Well, you can't, right? Because you almost want to be unconscious at that point.
Like if I'm on stage, I'm doing something, whether it's play, whatever. I'm so hyper focused to what I'm doing and my scene partner that I don't even know those people are there anymore.
Yeah, flow state.
And that's how you have to like think like. And also like my. I used to have stage fright. Everyone still has stage fright. Like, it's nerve-wracking to get up in front of 100 people and, like, do something. Mm. But I remember my teacher just grabbed me and told me, this is your time. Don't give an F about what anyone has to think. Just do whatever you want and take your time. And honestly, that's all it took. Yeah. You know what? You're right.
Yeah, it's my time.
F everyone here. This is my time. I'm going to be on stage. I'm going to do whatever I want. And if it fails, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm still just going to do the attempt.
Yeah.
And if I have an experience, I don't care how anyone else feels.
Yeah.
You got to be kind of selfish sometimes, mm-hmm. you know?
One of the things I face when I, like, try to direct people, it's like, I'm looking for a certain amount, right?
Mm.
And a lot of the times, they'll suppress the crap out of it. Mm. And I know you have more in there, but something's keeping you back. Right. Yeah. And it's more than like a shoulder shrug or get loose. It's more than that. It's kind of like, and getting them to that point, you know, take after take after take sometimes, it's just like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you pull them aside and you're like, you're doing great, you know? And I just want to, and there's, it's weird as a director. I think you need to know a lot of vocabulary because you need to kind of insert adjectives to really bring them into seeing what you want delivered,
Adjectives too, but also verbs.
Yeah,
you got to give them an action, and you got to make them think about an action, and that's what helped me. Is that like sometimes when I work out and like I don't know what to do, I just pick up something random on stage and just do it. Mm. Like I'll be folding clothes throughout the scene. The scene doesn't call for that, but it gives me something to do, and it allows me to also like. Emotionally fold clothes or like something like that. You know what I mean? Mm. Like you fold clothes differently than when you're pissed than when you're super calm and like singing or something like that. So like incorporating like verbs, I think goes a long way too, you know? But yeah.
That's crazy. I think, man, I like acting.
I would assume like at the end of the day, it's just about getting past your insecurities, right? And then make it, because if you don't have confidence as an actor, as anybody, athlete, you're not going
to
do good.
No, you have to have a certain level of confidence. Yeah. You have to understand, like, and it takes real confidence to be like, I don't care what anyone has to say, you know? That's just being secure in your work. I think everyone has insecurities. I have insecurities, everyone. But to be cognitively aware of those insecurities and to address them is important. Because then you could possibly use those insecurities in your work.
Yeah.
It makes you act in a certain way. Like, you know, someone's not comfortable taking their shirt off. And someone in the scene, like, you can use that. And, like, but, yeah, it's just you have to be confident.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be confident. Like, you can't care what anyone else has to say.
Yeah, I mean, what's crazy about acting is that the word itself comes off as, like, being something you're not, you know? For the moment.
And that's what I thought at first.
But it's not true, because the way acting has been to me lately, at least, is that you have to have experienced as much as possible in the normal life to be able to translate that.
Mm.
You know? 100%. So, like, when you were saying folding a shirt, angry versus chill,
yeah,
you have to recognize the day you were chill so you know exactly how you felt. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Mm-hmm. It has to be personal. Mm. Like, I mean, maybe there's other techniques. Don't get me wrong. Other people work in different ways. I believe, I forget her name, but she more calls for like an imaginary type experience where like you're at a grave or something like that. You imagine that's your mother in the grave. And it works for some people, you know. Then they can have an emotional experience when they're looking at the grave and they're imagining that that's their mom in the grave or whatever it is. I can't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried like imaginary scenarios and tried to imagine this is me in this scenario. It just doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
For me, I had to be more personal. So, like, I played a scene, for example, where my wife got an abortion 6 months ago and never told me about it. Obviously, I don't know what that's like.
Yeah.
I never had a wife. I never had a girl go through an abortion.
Thank God.
Yeah. But what the scene was calling for and what I felt like the character was feeling was this incredible disappointment, because all he's ever wanted was a family.
Mm.
And she took that away from him. So he feels extremely betrayed, you know, like someone so close to you did something like that and never told you about it. Like, you got to feel betrayed. So that's where I had to base how I could react in that scene. What is it like to be betrayed by someone you love?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has that experience. Everyone has an experience where they've got saw red, been angry, been betrayed in like this incredible extent. But like, and that's what I had to reference so I can have that experience.
So you use an experience of betrayal and like extreme disappointment from your own life and translated that emotion into the scene.
Yeah, essentially.
Now, is that, obviously, I mean, it's tough because you had to learn how to do that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You have to, and that's the thing, like why I say like sometimes I'm exhausted is because I have to constantly do that. I have to constantly practice. I have to constantly like look back in my life and see like what has affected me emotionally. Why, for this scene in particular, what can I find in my life to have that same effect? And it doesn't even have to be the same. Like, if that scene was calling for disappointment or anything, like, I could just go back to being like, what it felt like to be punched in the face,
yeah,
by someone, you know, like having that incredible rage. Like, it doesn't have to be like one to one translation. You could use whatever you want, essentially, as long as you feel like it works for the scene.
So for you, let's focus on that specific, like. Mm. Sub-skill within acting. Who is an actor that emulates that perfectly for you?
Oh, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Mm.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know, he's the GOAT, yeah. To say the least. That guy is the GOAT, you know? Other guys, Michael Fassbender, I love. Who's the one guy from American Psycho? Christian Bale.
I was thinking of his actual name. His face? Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, but Christian Patrick Bale. Bateman.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Christian Bale. I love, and I don't try to copy anyone, because what works for them doesn't mean it's going to work for you. What works for Daniel Day-Lewis doesn't mean it's going to work for me. But what I could appreciate about them is their dedication.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the idea of, if my character does something, I'm going to go learn how to do that, essentially. It's just how I have fun with it, you know. If my character's in the military or whatever, like, I'm gonna see how like someone in the military does their bed every morning. I'm gonna see like what their routine is like, what they eat, what their training is like. It's something that I want to go through, because you can essentially like be in character while working through these things, and you find these small things that like you can really work with, and you can find these like little behaviors that you could also implement.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis does that to an extreme extent, and I appreciate that, because I like going to extremes.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, like, he, from what I understand, more so takes his work home. Like, he is that character for the months,
which is so interesting, because I've heard of many actors who basically like become the part for however long the movie is filmed.
Yeah.
Which is insane to me. So when they go home and they're not filming the movie, they actually stick within the role?
Yeah, yeah. Like, they would try to eat like them. They would try to have these behaviors. Obviously, there's always certain limitations that you have to instill, because like, you have a real life at the end of the day. I'm not going to like disregard my mom because my character doesn't have a mom or something like that. We're not talking to you for 3 months now.
Hell no.
But yeah, and everyone has their own boundaries.
True.
And you find your own boundaries. You find what works for you. And yeah, you take it from there. And it's just a fun experience at the end of the day. I have fun like finding these behaviors. I played a shoemaker. I learned how to make a shoe.
Yeah.
You know? Like, and I just had fun doing it. So.
That's crazy.
That's freaking awesome, dude. Yeah. For me, the words or the keywords that come out usually from practicing acting in general is in your daily life, you'll start to have more mindfulness, gratefulness, and stillness.
Yeah.
Right? 100%. So your entire interactions with people just start to change. Mm. And yeah, it's I like what acting can do to a person.
Yeah, emotional intelligence is huge. Mm. You become emotionally intelligent because you have to understand how you work, essentially, and what affects you, like why you act in certain ways. And it transitions to life. You know, it made me more calm as a person. It made me less reactive. Strange, because like, yeah, acting, you want to be like super. Yeah. But like in real life, I could understand like, oh, I don't need to waste my energy on this. You know, I can handle this better because I understand how it works now. I understand what I'm thinking. I understand what I'm feeling. And I don't have to just let those emotions out. I can just think about it, contemplate, and then deal with it in a better way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to, everyone should have a level of emotional intelligence. Radically throwing out your emotions, first of all, just tires you out more than anyone else, you know? And never really does good, I don't think. Unless, like, it's called for, obviously. Someone hits my mom.
Oh, hell no.
I'm going to knock him out. Like,
it's going down.
That's the only response to have.
Like, it better be the only
You're not going
to
be like, what am I going to cognitively think about this?
Maybe I can make peace with them.
Oh, God, dude.
Now you beat his ass.
Dude. I mean, we wish you all the success. It's...
It's a long journey.
Yeah, it is a long journey.
It's a lifelong journey, you know. Yeah. I don't expect to be big or something like in the next 5-10 years. I don't care what it is. As long as I'm just enjoying it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm happy. Like I don't seek any like external confirmation from it. I'm just doing my thing.
Doing the work for its own sake.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You enjoy the process. If you're in it for the results, probably not gonna make it.
Definitely not.
Yeah. How do you define success? And what does it look like for you?
I guess for me is doing what I want. Obviously within respect to Islam, as a Muslim I have to like because I can't do anything I want.
Yeah. Of course.
But for me, being successful is following my passion and whatever makes me happy and also taking care of those people around me.
Mm.
I mean, like, it's selfish to not think about, like, your parents, your family, and, like, what they deserve, you know, for giving you this life. I mean, my family came here when I was, like, 5 years old with nothing. And they gave me a life that beyond imagination.
Mm.
So it makes me happy to like give them something back. And that's like, it's part of the success story. And one thing that I guess transitioned into that was, I remember watching a video years ago before any of this. And it was a guy interviewing people on their deathbeds. And I think he only interviewed like 10 people, but one constant answer people had regret for about was they were extremely regretful for just how hard they worked and not being there for their family and not pursuing like other passions.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, like I think it was like 8 out of 10 people on their deathbeds. I mean, I'm not gonna say that's a statistic for like in general people, but the people he interviewed, that was like one of the most common answers. So that instilled in me, like, I can't just work constantly, even though, like, when you have a business, there's going to be days you're going to work at 3 a.m. You know, there's weeks where you work all 7 days. That's just the reality. But there's a manageable way to do it where you can balance your life, balance your passion, balance your family, you know? And I think that's what, for me at least, like, that's what encompasses success is that you're taking care of those that mean the world to you. But then you're also finding the time to follow something that makes you happy, whatever it is, whatever hobby or whatever it is that you like to do. So, yeah.
It's a solid answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people can take stuff out of that. It's beyond joy. I think that also probably defines happiness for you, you know?
Mm.
It's not being on a certain routine.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I get from that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't like, I like to change it up every day.
Yeah. Screw routines, man.
Routines suck. I mean, yeah. So you do need like a certain process.
Well, of course, yeah, yeah.
Right, you do things, but...
Yeah. Like, I'm not saying don't shower and just do the things you want. Yeah, you know what? Today I'm not going to shower just to like split the routine.
Yeah, just to change it up a bit.
Please wipe.
God damn. Yeah, dude. I don't know. There's you've got me thinking about my life now. God damn it.
Dude, the last two episodes, like it's not necessarily tension, but the reflection.
Yeah, the reflection.
You can
there.
Cut it with a knife.
Yeah,
for sure.
Bro, and it's important. Like, don't like, it's not uncomfortable. You know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a gift. Honestly, when someone tells you something, or gives. I'm not saying I'm gifting you guys anything, but I'm saying like, there's so many moments like where someone says something that could be triggering for you, and like in a sense of like, you're gonna go back and think about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Like, I remember this one person asked me, why is it that you feel more comfortable in group hangouts than in, like, one-on-ones? And, like, for me, we're always hanging out in a group. Like, honestly, like, I can't hang out one-on-one, but I always like groups. You know, our group is pretty big.
Yeah,
and we're always, all of us come together. It's always group hangouts. Like, it's not that common to do one-on-ones. And it made me like literally just go home and think about like, why is it I prefer that? Like, and like for me, it was like in high school, like I never really got that attention. Like I was kind of like a nobody. So I never got that attention. I see groups hang out and be like, want to be part of that. But I never really felt like I fit in. So like when I found a group that where I felt like I fit in, like I just like thrived.
Oh,
I
was
like,
definitely thrived.
Like, I just want to be around.
Your head's bobbing all day.
I'm like, I'm going to lead the pack right now.
Oh my God, dude.
Yeah. But so, it's crazy, like those small questions.
Yeah.
And people shouldn't disregard them. You know, go back and think about why, you know, and you just understand yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's also to talk about like success and stuff, and like being happy with yourself.
Mm.
You know, like, the more you understand yourself, I think the easier it is to be happy with yourself.
100%.
Yeah.
Because if you don't understand, you're going to be constantly lost in whatever emotion it is that you're going to be experiencing.
Yeah.
So.
Be easygoing and comfortable, man.
Like, yeah.
Like, dude.
And
either
be
people,
uncomfortable, bro. Yeah.
People accept you or they don't.
Yeah, yeah.
For the most part, my general experience has been they accept you, whether you're awkward, stupid, or you.
Yeah, you'll find your niche. You'll find your.
I've said some low IQ things before.
Everyone has.
Like, who cares?
Everyone
you know what
has, bro. Like, I remember Wes Anderson when he made like his first film. He was like worried about how it would be taken, and it wasn't taken too well by like critics or whatever. But there was a group of people that really enjoyed his films, and he just essentially said, "This is the audience." Like, that's my audience, and like that's what I'm gonna target. Like, you find your own niche, you find whatever makes you feel comfortable, and you take whatever you want out of it at the end of the day.
Well, there's a market for everything.
Hell yeah.
Exactly.
What are some qualities that you admire in people or others, or people like that you like or you seem to have a like for? You know what I mean? Like-mindedness.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about our group.
Our group. Damn, dude.
Immediately jump to it. I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah, literally, like, what do I like about certain
people that are female loving? I'm just kidding.
That's getting edited.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we've all like noticed this in our group, especially. Mm. There's a quality of brotherhood that we have that is extremely hard to find.
Yeah.
Like, you know, anytime I meet people like outside our community, outside our circle, like, it's really hard to find that brotherhood. Like, anyone in our group, bro, if he was going through something, you know damn well the group is going to jump in and be like, do you need anything?
Yeah.
We'll be there for you. Like, we'll do any. That brotherhood, like, you just feel so comfortable too. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Anytime we hang out, everyone's an idiot, like, yeah. including myself. But it's because we have that brotherhood.
No.
And I think that's irreplaceable. Like, it's so hard to find. And the crazy part is we're like a group of, what, 30 guys now?
Mm-hmm.
all have, like, yeah. this kind of brotherhood.
Dude, connection, it's crazy. You know? And everyone's different in their own way.
Yeah.
So it makes the group unique. You know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, like, everyone kind of just accepts everyone.
Yeah.
You know, no one takes anything too seriously. I mean, because we all know our boundaries. Like, I'm not going to talk about someone's mom.
What the hell?
Like, everyone knows their boundaries. I mean, weirdly enough, you know, like, Western culture, like, I've seen people, like, talk about other people's sisters and, like make comments about, to the brother, to, like, it's your insane, homie about yeah. his sister and, like, stuff like that. It's like, no, we don't do that kind of shit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's never going to happen in, like, our type of group. So everyone knows their boundaries.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, the quality of, like, knowing your boundary, everyone knows their boundaries, and it's just, like, that brotherhood. Irreplaceable,
undefeated.
Though.
Yeah,
you can't. It's so hard to find nowadays.
Like, it's extremely rare.
Yeah, we grew up. We were lucky enough to grow up with it. Like,
dude, that's always been my question. Like, how rare is it in the society we live in today to find that
incredibly,
in other people?
Incredibly,
it's as rare as rare bird.
I don't think I've.
That's very weird true. Sponsor.
Shout out to Parazanthi. Because I don't think I've ever found it in other people.
Oh yeah,
maybe like a group of two or three guys, but
no, 100%. Like, even working in Hollywood, like, yeah, everyone's nice. Everyone's like, everyone's really cool. Everyone's really, honestly, the acting community is super supportive. And that's what I really love about that community is that it is a group of people that are like super, super supportive. But at the same time, like, I don't find that brotherhood as I do with you guys. And I don't need it, you know? Everyone, as long as I just respect other people, they're still friends and all this stuff. But like, that brotherhood that I have with you guys, like, it's irreplaceable. Like, I don't, and I don't need it from like anywhere else. Like, you already have it here with, luckily, 30 guys, like we said. Like, it's insane.
It's plenty to go through.
There's some, like, insulting motivation, too, by, like, Amar, for example.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Amar's been on here before.
No. Yeah, Amar would literally text me, like, you fat piece of shit.
Yeah.
And go work out.
Yeah,
and I'm like, all right.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah, I need that today.
I need some fat shaming in my life.
The hell is this, dude? I remember, like, Alex was like, yo, let's get pizza today or something from somewhere fancy.
Yeah, he's like,
and Amar's like, no, you should go to the gym, you fat ass.
Yeah,
and I'm like, dude.
Fuck. I was like, yeah, I need that.
Yeah, where's Alice? At the gym, bro.
Kind of wish we had more of it.
And there's no offense, honestly. Like, there's no offense, like, between guys. Like,
it's just we know we'll get triggered by it. You know, so we're like,
that doesn't really matter.
Like, I am not fat.
That's one thing too. Like, no one really takes offense.
Yeah,
and like, we talk a lot of shit.
Oh, so much.
And Zay, my dog. Like, everyone talks shit on each other.
Like Mo sleeping all the time. It's crazy.
Yeah, but sleeping a lot, bro.
He really isn't, but it's just that's the joke. Yeah.
That's just
Dang, dude. Well, it's been a lovely time. I hope you come back on the show.
Hell yeah,
almost definitely.
Yeah, if you guys ever want me, come on again, bro. I'm
for
more
sure.
Really. It's fun.
Yeah, we're gonna have two or three more guys join us.
Yeah,
in the same sitting as well. So we're planning to probably have Ibs and Amar at the same time as well.
Oh, that's sick.
Probably do a bunch. Yeah.
I was just about to ask if you guys do more than one guest at a time.
Yeah, we do. Oh, we're going to start incorporating it, honestly. I think it'll give a different kind of vibe, too.
That'll be sick, yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be a fun conversation.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Al Salahuddin, you can follow him on Instagram at @als.salahuddin.
No, just Al Salahuddin.
Okay, @als.salahuddin. I'll link it in the description below. Do not worry about it. Go ahead and follow him. He is awesome. Don't forget. Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
Of course. Thank you. Do not forget to follow us, too, at the 2 a.m. podcast if you haven't already. We are on YouTube at the 2 a.m. podcast, on Twitter at 2 a.m. pod, and we're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all major streaming platforms. Don't forget to support us by using any of our affiliate or sponsor links in the description. Use code 2AM to save. And until next time, guys, we will catch you.
Peace.
Later.
Bye.